Good morning, Nancy and everyone else. Welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Larry Kay, and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from Chicago. Today is Wednesday, April 3rd, 2024. And we are currently in Bill's story. We're on page 12. The second paragraph, it begins, "My friend suggested what then seemed," and through one paragraph ending, "your own conception of God." Just comments on the one paragraph. Today's readers, we have Chris W. on the 12 steps, Patty O. on the 12 traditions, and the readers of the text are Lynn S., Vanessa G., and Nancy P. We got the newcomer greeter, Anne-Marie M., and our host for the second hour is Ramona A. Let me give you the share ID for yesterday, Tuesday, April 2nd, the 7 a.m. Eastern Standard Time meeting. That number is 21,275. That's 21275. The 10 a.m. meeting yesterday, 21,276. 21276. The OA Pre-Ramble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions. We neither solicit nor do we accept outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors, and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose, OA's fifth tradition, states that each group has but one primary purpose, and that is to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At A Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating, they can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and the 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. So now we have Chris W. She's going to read the 12 steps for us. Good morning, Chris.
The 12 steps. One, we admitted we were powerless over alcohol, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct demands to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. Ten, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood him, praying only for knowledge of his will for us and the power to carry that out. 12, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to alcoholics and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you for letting me share or serve.
Oh, thanks, Chris. You know, I really tried to get Patty O to sing the 12 traditions, but she's not buying it. Patty, would you read the 12 traditions for us?
Hi, it's Patty O in Florida. Maybe next week. These are the 12 traditions. One, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends on OA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. Three, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. Four, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, or prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, film, television, and other public media of communication. And 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all our traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thanks for letting me share.
Thanks, Patty. So here's how our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature. We then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you try your best to keep your sharing to the topic in the literature that we're discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. I'll time you. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year. For readers, it's 6 months, and there's no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. And, of course, this meeting does request that your sharing, again, be linked directly to what was read. And we're sharing, you know, our interpretation of the Big Book, what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. If you'd like to share, what you do is you press *1 to unmute. Once you're done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then mute your phone again by pressing *1. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. So today we resume our study of the Big Book. We are in Bill's story. We're on page 12, the second paragraph, which begins, "My friend suggested what then seemed," through one paragraph ending, "your own conception of God." We're just going to comment on the one paragraph. So Lynn S. Is going to get us started. Good morning, Lynn.
Good morning, Larry. Good morning, Vision. This is Lynn S., recovered compulsive overeater in Toronto, Canada. My friend suggested what then seemed a novel idea. He said, "Why don't you choose your own conception of God?" I feel like the whole universe has opened up to me, and I'm supposed to pick a speck out of this universe and share on that. I think it always amazes me when we see how God speaks through us, to us, and how God came in and gave these words to Abby that opened up this, that just opened up this AA that's now available to us, to everybody, to everybody. Choose your own conception of God. What a profound idea to those of us who maybe had no idea of God, didn't want an idea of God, or had an idea of God that we wanted to replace with something else. I know for myself, I had no conception of God, except I didn't want one, didn't need one. But then I did in the biggest way possible. I needed a power greater than anything I had ever experienced in my life for the first 34 years. Because I couldn't save myself. There was nothing more I could do. and to have a conception of God that was my own. In one sense, a daunting task. On the other sense, the best gift I've ever been given in my life. And I went from having a almost fairy tale image of God, but it was always a kind and loving father, to the image that I have now, which I believe is taken right out of the first 164 pages of our book. And this concept of God has changed my life completely. There isn't one aspect of my life that hasn't been changed because of how God is now in my life. And I was pondering this exact thing this morning because I'm coming up to some changes that could be scary for me. But I know what my conception of God is. And I know that my conception of God has plans for me to prosper me and not to harm me. This is the best thing that has ever happened to me in program, and I think for many of us. And with that, I'll pass.
Oh, thanks for getting us started, Lynn. That's terrific. Okay, so we're going to now transition into shares. I'm just going to read, although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day so that others can jump in as well. And we just respectfully ask that you step back. I cleaned out my ears this morning. I'll do my best. Give me your first name and last initial. Who would like to share?
Priscilla H.
Priscilla.
Janet B.
Janet.
Elena P. Elena P.
Joanna. Elena.
Reva P.
Reva.
Sarah G.
Sue A.
Sue A. Someone before Sue.
Sarah G.
M. Colorado.
Someone from Colorado.
Julie M.
Julie M.
Sarah G. from New Jersey.
Someone from New Jersey. I need to clean my ears out better.
Sarah G.
Sarah. Okay. Let's stop there. Yeah, let's stop there if you would. I'm going to read some
names. Elise N.
Elise. Okay. How about I read some names? And let's see if we're good. This is who I heard, okay? Priscilla, Janet, I think I heard a Joanna, Elena, Reva, Sue, Julie M., Sarah, and Elise. If you spoke, not if you didn't, but you spoke and I missed your name, please go ahead and give me your name, if you spoke already.
Joni C.
Joni. Okay. Let's stop there. Martha, let's stop there. Okay, so we got quite a list here. Let's start off with Priscilla, followed by Janet. Priscilla, good morning.
Good morning, everybody. Thank you so much. This is Priscilla H., grateful to be physically recovered as much as that can happen, and otherwise recovering. This, I agree with whoever said earlier that this is the turning point probably in the whole book. Why don't you choose your own conception of God? At least for me it is. Because when I came into 12-step recovery myself as a participant, not just as an observer, my job involved going to many, many, many AA meetings and also NA meetings. and so I had heard all of these things. And I heard, what I heard was, fake it till you can make it. And also I heard, act as if. And so when I took step three, that's the decision I made, not to choose a conception of God, but to act as if I believed that there was such a thing as a God. I didn't, but I knew how to act as if. And the reason I knew how to act as if there was a God, not put on an act, but truly act as if, is because of one woman who was a coworker on my job. Actually, I was her supervisor, and I would say, can you take the group on Thursday night, or can you take a new client this morning, or whatever. And she would say, well, I don't know. I'll talk with God about that, and I'll let you know. Huh, who talks to their supervisor that way? Well, she did. And so I learned to act, to ask God before making decisions. It took me another 30-some-odd years to, and the close study of the big book, as we do in Vision for You, to begin to really have a better understanding. But today, what I want to say is that just even acting as if a person truly believes there is some kind of higher power, not necessarily one of any particular religion, but some kind of higher power, that's good enough. That's a good enough beginning. So thanks for letting me share, and with that, I'll pass.
Thanks, Priscilla. Okay, next up we have Janet, followed by, I believe, Joanna. Janet, good morning to you.
Hi, good morning, Larry. This is Janet C., recovered compulsive eater in North Carolina. So why don't you choose your own conception of God? I had always believed in God. I was never for one second in my life an atheist. And I was actually religious. And I remember being at going to a meeting. This was when I was 6.5 years in Overeaters Anonymous, not abstinent, unable to get abstinent. And someone said to me, if you have such a great relationship with God, why are you still in the food? And I couldn't answer. And it just blew me away. And I thought, oh, my goodness, everything I believe may be a house of cards. So I did two things. I said a prayer, and the prayer went something like this. God, I've always had fixed ideas of what you are like and what you want of me. I'm willing to admit it's all wrong and start it over and let you show me what you're like and how to worship you. I kind of let God choose his conception of himself for me. I didn't go making up a conception. I just said, God, show me yourself the way you are and the way you want me to worship you. But here's how I had to change my conception. My conception of God was that he existed, yes, he loved me, yes. But I was really treating him like a servant. Like, here's my list of what I want, do it. Or like a genie in the bottle. Come out, remove my food obsession, make this boy I have a crush on like me, make it sunny, a day that I want to go to the park, and then go back in your bottle and leave me alone. So what had to change about my conception of God is that I had to realize I'm his servant. I had to adopt a posture of surrender. God, I surrender everything to you, not just my food plan. I mean, that can be easy. Take my food, take my life, take my marriage, take my kids, take my job, take everything and do with it, do with me whatever you want. That was the harder part. And to try to live that surrender, which means I can't tell lies because our book tells me that this program requires rigorous honesty. I have to, you know, I'm by nature a slug. I'll sit on my couch and read books and watch TV all day. I can't do that. I have to help others. I have to be a contributing member of society. So my conception of God had to change, that he is the Father. I am the beloved child. He is, I am the agent. That means he has work for me to do. He wants to heal other addicts just like me, and I am privileged to be an agent and help him on his search and rescue missions for others. So my conception had to change from one where I was the boss to one where I am his, like, beloved child and his beloved servant. And with that, I pass. Thanks.
Thanks so much, Janet. Okay, next up we have, I think I heard Joanna, followed by Elena. Joanna, did I hear you? And if I didn't, we're going to hear a big bunch of silence right now. All right. I'm hearing the voices in my head, folks. Nothing new there. Okay, let's go with Elena, followed by Reva. Elena, good morning.
Good morning, Larry, Chicago. My name is Elena C., recovered South Carolina. Gratefully recovered for today. And oh, my goodness, what a powerful, very short period of just sentences, and here's what I hear, and here's what I relate, how I relate to this. So Abby was very inspired by God in his interaction with Bill, and you know, he heard Bill's resistance about, well, I'm not sure, God, whatever, blah, 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 you know. And he said, why don't you choose your own conception of God? It was God within Abby that helped him carry the message. And without this message, our AA or OA, you know, would not have been alive today, because he would have stayed like Oxford Group, a Christian group, and he would not have been accessible to all religions out there. So I am so grateful that that happened, and it's just as simple, as miraculous as that. And for me, it was very powerful as well, because when I came into a 12-step, and that was years ago in Al-Anon, and somebody would have told me, this is what you need to believe in, Elena, and I would be like, yeah, whatever, because the kind of personality that I had at that time was like, you know, I was telling myself, don't tell me what to do. And part of it is because that's what I have experienced when I was growing up. Like, this is what you need to believe in. And if you don't believe in that, then you're doomed, you know. And then I feared God. And I had so much, I had a very interesting journey. And I was so ambivalent and confused and struggled for years, even in Al-Anon, after I heard this whole stuff, who God is. And conception means a formation of a plan or idea. So it's not necessarily an idea, it's a plan. And that worked for me because I heard what I can do, to experience God, not necessarily what I believe or what my knowledge is of God, but what I can do. I can do kindness, I can listen to people, you know, I could be generous, I could be compassionate, I could make amends, I could help another without losing myself. And that is a conception of God. I would like to keep this conception of God for the rest of my life. And then when I started doing that, then a experience of God has been solidified for me, within this world. And I'm so grateful for that. Thank you.
Mental reminder? Oh, perfect timing. Thank you, Lana. You feed me to the punch. Good deal. Okay, next up we have Reva, followed by Sue. Good morning, Reva.
Good morning, Larry. Hi, this is Reva P., grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater in Toronto. It is amazing that I am wanting to share on this tiny little paragraph. I was the one who tried to skip the chapter, We Agnostics. I really didn't like this whole God business when I heard people sharing about God in the early meetings I went to. But, you know, I came here, thank you, God, at my bottom, and I was told of the grave nature of my disease, the physical allergy, the mental obsession. And then I was told that my only hope, my only solution is to access this power. And I knew I had tried and tried harder and tried harder, and I couldn't lick this thing. So I was really in this dilemma. But you know what? The people who had what I wanted, I didn't even know what it was, but the people who were so attractive all had this God relationship, connection, access. So I knew it was important. And I remember having some kind of a debate at one of my early meetings with somebody about this God thing, and she said the same thing. Why don't I choose my own conception or fire my old conception? And it just floored me. And you know what? I didn't even know what my conception was until I started detoxing from the food, and my mind got a bit clearer, and then I realized that concept did not work for me, and it wasn't going to help me to recover. So I started with an intellectual bunch of ideas of what I really needed. But I have to say, my conception isn't complete. Like, it constantly grows and changes, and it sort of forms as I do the step work and I get access to how God would have me be, think, talk. So it's not a one and done thing. But you know what? For conception, I looked up novel, new, unusual, different from anything seen or known before. This conception, whatever it is that I can't put into words in 2 seconds or less, is nothing that I've known before. It's a practical thing. It's right down here in my heart, in my soul, in the practicalities of life. You know, who is the grace that when I say, please help, my hand is on the handle of the fridge, help, I don't want to do this again. That moment of grace, there it is. You know, when I'm sitting with my mother who's dying and I think I can't tolerate this, who is the one helping me love my mother like I never did before? Who is that? That is it, whatever it is. And it's so different and so not what it was before this program. And for that, I'm grateful and I pass. Thank you.
Boy, can I relate to that one. Thanks, Reva. Okay, next up is Sue, followed by our beloved horse whisperer, Julie. Sue, good morning.
Hi, I'm Sue A. from Delaware, 1 week abstinent today, with the grace of God and a wonderful sponsor. I came into this program when I was 34, and I'm now 63, and have struggled with this paragraph my entire time. I was on a meeting, and someone suggested using my grandmother, as silly as that sounds, and I now have created a team of God, of spirit, of something that's not me. I grew up in a family of atheists. I was always taught that we had to be strong and we were the power and you have to do this and you have to be perfect. And, you know, this has been a really difficult journey for me. I've never had a God. So I've been doing this two-way prayer thing in the morning, which has really changed my whole conception of God. It's been more of a listening to what God is saying to me instead of a telling God what I need or what I want. I suggest that to anyone. My sponsor gave me that, and it's been unbelievable. You know, I am a person that almost died from this disease. I ended up in treatment in a refeeding syndrome. This is not fooling around for me anymore. I have got to take action. I've got to get in these steps. And this is the step, you know, I've got to bring God or spirit to me in all the time. Whenever I feel good, whenever I feel bad, whatever emotion is coming up for me, I've got to use God in these steps. I'm learning to tackle the problem because food was my answer, but I have got to change everything. My first sponsor told me the only thing you have to change is everything. So designing my own God has been wonderful for me. I do have to say last night, though, I had a friend ask me out to dinner tonight before a show that we're going to, and I told her a lie. I told her that I had a call with my sponsor, and I'm going to have to reach out and let her know that I'm in the program of OA again. And she thinks it's all about control. And she tells me, you know, you need to eat this, you need to eat that. You're denying yourself pleasure. And I got to really have a real chat with God and become honest with her. And regardless of how she feels about what I'm doing, it doesn't matter. I'm saving my life. So I'm going to react as if I have a God, not as if I am God, and pause and just listen to you all and learn. I just want to thank you for letting me share, and I thank God for my week abstinent, and I feel free. Thank you.
Oh, thank you, Sue. Okay, next up we have Julie M., followed by Sarah in New Jersey. Hi, Julie. Good morning.
Hi, Larry. Good morning. Nice to hear you. This is Julie. recovered compulsive overeater in Colorado. And if it wasn't for this line in this book, I couldn't be here. And I'm so grateful. When I came into program, I was so desperate. I used to wake up in the morning, and on most days, my first thought would be, how can I not be here anymore? And just horrendous time in my life. And when I got to, can't remember if it was step two, which is coming to believe that a power greater than myself could restore me to sanity, that was like impossible. And then step three, making a decision to turn my will and my life over, felt impossible because I was raised as an atheist. I was raised to believe that people who went to church were sheep, and that everything was self-will. And when I was about 10, I decided that I was a complete atheist. When I heard about the religious wars on the news, I just could not fathom that some people could be saved and some people couldn't. And I was raped as a child. And so when I hit steps two and three, I don't remember, I could not believe that there was a power greater than me that actually cared about me. And I remember my sponsor at the time, I just felt so desperate because I wanted what everybody had in OA. And he said, you know, when that happened, it's not that you didn't have a power greater than yourself. It's that you had never been taught how to connect. And in this program, I've learned to seek that connection. And it's an ongoing battle for me. But in that moment when she said that, all I could do was act as if. That's all I had, was act as if this might be true. And it took me forever. When I couldn't say the word God, it would get stuck in my throat. I couldn't even say higher power. I used to write HP on my hand to remember. And the closest I could get was Mother Nature. And going into nature was always church for me. And now today I do have a relationship with God. And I can say God. I think of God as, you know, the power of the universe. And it's something that I plug into and I connect to. But it is a muscle that I have to work. And today I can feel when God is with me and wants me to do something. I get this sense in my body when something's not right. I go the other direction. Or I feel really calm and at peace when I'm doing a decision that it feels right. And so I feel guided. And I'm so grateful not only for abstinence, which... you know, sugar left, but then other things went along the way. But from my relationship with God and the peace that I have today because of that within the difficult things in my life. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Well, thank you so much, Julie. Okay, next up we have Sarah, followed by Elise. Sarah, good morning.
Good morning, Larry. This is Sarah G. from New Jersey. I was thinking, you know, I don't know if this paragraph is for me, but then I was really thinking, and I said, wait a minute, you know, when I was a teenager, I remember sitting on the school bus with a friend and talking about God and saying that we came to that conclusion that God was a crutch for people who just needed it. And I said, you know, if people need a crutch, then it's good that they have it. But since I was in my all-knowing teenagehood, that I could never rely on that crutch because I knew it was just a crutch. But then when I went to college, I actually found religion, and it made my life so much better and happier. But at the same time, I was still a compulsive overeater. And when I came into program, it was so clear that I had to just truly surrender to this God that I knew was loving and good, but I just did not know how to get him into my food at all. And talking to my sponsors and talking to a lot of fellows helped me to really surrender everything, just everything, and really put my trust in this God that I knew was there. And with each small miracle that happened, it increased and increased my trust, and realized that I just have to only want what he wants of me and not what other people want of me. And the more I do what other people, the more I do what God wants of me, somehow makes other people happier with me. You know, trying to people please was not the answer. God pleasing is really the answer, and to do his will all the time. And then I wasn't living in guilt. And I pray to just be able to continue this. And I know that, you know, the help that I get from all of my fellows and talking is so supportive. And my husband had made a speech once, and it reminded me of a few paragraphs ago, of the redwood trees and how their roots, they don't go super deep. They live for thousands of years. But how do they withstand all the storms? Their roots spread out very far and get intertwined with everybody else's roots, all the other trees' roots. And that's what we are as a people. Our roots are all intertwined. And when we are strong, what makes us strong is being intertwined with each other and helping each other withstand all of the storms that life brings. And then we can continue in happiness and grow strong and tall up to the sky. And
thanks,
with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Oh, thanks so much. You're finishing up. You know, I'm going to dock my own pay because I haven't been asking for last initials so people can find you. So with that, if you could give your last initial. Next up is Elise, followed by Joni. Elise?
Hi, I'm Elise N. I'm in Boca Raton, but I'm on the list in Passaic. I'm just thank you for your service. I guess what I would share is, you know, I grew up in a family of, my father was a Holocaust survivor and my parents were a doctor and a nurse, and always, you know, they're always helping other people, but my father, you know, wasn't sure if there was a God. And you know, I grew up also, I became, you know, a therapist. I'm still a therapist in New Jersey and Florida. And I became, you know, I wanted to help people, and I also, but, and also what happened then was I, you know, started to search myself, you know, for a spiritual solution for things, not just an emotional one. But when I came into OA, I was really looking for the, you know, to lose weight. And what I found was after I lost the weight, I then realized that God was doing for me what I couldn't do for myself. And I wanted to thank God. And so then I turned to my own religion, and I found the way to, I found my way over a period of years, and I ended up becoming religious. And now, you know, my father has said to me, you know, I wish that I had your faith, because my patients that have faith, do so much better than my patients that don't. But he said he just has a hard time. He doesn't understand how the Holocaust could happen if there was a God. And, you know, but he acts as if there is a God. You know, he's a very good person. I guess this program has given me everything. It brought me my God. It brought me close to my God. And I can, you know, reach out and help others with the food and on their spiritual journeys. And even if I get a client, you know, in therapy that doesn't believe in God, I don't try to bash anybody over the head with my concept, you know, in program or outside of program. I just, you know, try to help them along to find their own way. And that's, you know, that was what was done for me. I was not pounded over the head. And I just, I'm very grateful for everybody in here for this meeting in particular, because I was in relapse for many years and I got my abstinence back about a year and a half ago or more in this program, and I've lost 75 pounds, which I could easily find if I'm not spiritually fit. And I'm just so grateful that to have you all. So with that, I pass.
Well, thank you so much. Okay, my seat out is going away. Joni C. I think I got that. Joni, followed by Martha. Hi, Joni.
Hi. Joni C.
Yeah.
Fully recovered but not cured from Minnesota. This paragraph was really life-changing for me. I had a relationship with God, but what I had was head knowledge and not heart knowledge. And I believed in my head that God loves me and that he's a forgiving God and that he is a kind God. And in my heart, I thought he was a judgmental God, that I could never do anything to make him happy, that that yes, he loved me, but there was always a big but there. And with this paragraph, I expanded my knowledge of God to someone that cared about every aspect of my life, and it became heart knowledge through this program. And with that, I pass.
Oh, thank you, Joni. Okay, next up is Martha, and then we'll see where we're at. Hi, Martha. Good morning. Martha, press star one. And maybe there's the voices in my head again. I don't know. Did I hear a Martha? Maybe not. Okay, perhaps not. So we have time for some more shares. Who would like to share on what was read? This is the second paragraph on page 12 in Bill's story.
Anita J.
Anita. Karen.
Patty K.
Patty
K.
Patty K. We'll stop with Maria there. Anita, Kathy, Karen,
Yetta.
Patty, Maria. Yetta, let's see where we're at. We'll see where we're at. Let's go. Yeah. I'm so sorry. Let's see where we're at. We'll start with Anita, followed by Kathy. And if you could give your last initial, that would be terrific. Anita, good morning.
Thank you, Larry K. Oh, your initial. My initial. Anita J. from Massachusetts. Recovered. You know, there's a couple of thoughts about this paragraph going in my head, wondering which one to talk about. But I had thrown the baby out with the bathwater, judging God by his representatives. And I used to be a church shopper, looking for the very best minister that could really stir me up. And then when the minister had the affair, and I was maybe 30, a very naive 30, I was devastated. And the great thing that OA did was bring God back. First meeting I ever walked into, that woman was talking about God. And it didn't turn me off. It was a part of me that was singing inside, thinking about this, and I'll be forever grateful if I had gotten nothing else out of OA, but that brought God back. And then the other thing was, when I first went through the steps and we were coming through to We Agnostics, I said, we don't have to read that chapter because I believe in God. And she said, well, maybe somebody you will sponsor doesn't believe, so maybe you ought to read this chapter. And that made sense to me. Good idea, says I. I was just such a, you know, ego-filled person. And now with great humility, I'll never understand God. You can't put him in a box, make a 5-10 adjective. But he's there. He is a power that I can access. And I'm so grateful, and I'm grateful to share that with other people, too. So with that, I pass.
Anita, great to hear you. Thank you so much. Next up, we have Kathy, followed by Karen. Kathy, good morning.
Good morning, Larry. Thank you. This is Kathy S., recovered compulsive overeater in Georgia. And this paragraph, it reminds me of my step two experience where my sponsor, instead of asking or using this question, she kind of changed it a little bit. And had me do an assignment where I was to write a letter to God, asking God for all the things I need, I think I need to be recovered. And I've shared it on this line before, but it prompted me to look it up, and I just wanted to share it again this morning. So this is what I wrote. Dear God, I pray that you will inspire me now to show me what I need because I really don't know. And then these words fell out. Wisdom regarding food, my food plan, working the steps, handling relationships, and knowing my truth. Faith in that wisdom and freedom from self-doubt and questioning what I believe. Courage to live out my truth, detached from the fear of the opinions of others. Love that comforts me in the form of assurance, acceptance, and delight even, that you are celebrating my true self, living out loud in freedom. Trust that you will send who I need, what I need, when and how I need, for as long as I need. Power to live recovery every day. Grace to love others well and myself. Evidence of your presence everywhere. Comfort in this process of dying to self and becoming humble, content, and one of many. Truth and revelation of it to guide me. Protection from the enemy and his tactics of fear, discomfort, doubt, resentment, envy, and emphasis on selfishness and dishonesty. I need you to call up memories of your faithfulness, grace, and provision. I need you to be real, known, and connected. Never let me go or cut me loose. I need you to be my shepherd and make me lie down in green pastures of safety, comfort, and peace, to lead me to still waters and fill and satisfy my thirst, my true needs, and restore my soul and bring healing, to work all things together for my good, to be God to John, my husband, and my kids, Corinne, Brandy, and Jack, to soothe all the hurt and fear deep down inside, to be more in and through my life, be seen and evident. I need you, God, to strengthen me, to cast out fear and to pour your love into me and open all valves, to tear down walls and break chains, that I'd be an open floor plan with full access, a full access channel to send your love and glory out into the world. Thank you for letting me share that, and I pass.
Oh, thanks so much, Kathy. Next up, we have Karen, followed by Patty. Karen, I took AA 101. Can I transfer those credits into OA?
Now you know the answer to that. Hi, my name is Ben Kay, recovered compulsive eater from Syracuse, New York, and my credits do not transfer. You know, for me, this whole big book and is talking not working the steps. It's about living the steps, and you know, it wasn't always easy. It was really, really hard. You know, I was struck sober with food, and then I wasn't struck sober anymore. And there was a lot of pain and agony in that. And what I've learned is, you know, living the steps, not taking steps, because when I take them, you know, I can give them away. So I was working with someone today, and it was really, really powerful. We're talking about step 6 and 7. And I did a 7-step prayer, and what I've been doing and guided to do is list each bump in the road that I had, each character defect that I took back on. You know, God, please remove the spirit of fear, the spirit of jealousy, the spirit of hate. And when I do those the night before, I have less step 10s the next day because nothing really gets carried over, you know, and anybody can do that. It's in the beginning, you know, I don't really need a God to do that. There's the group conscience. There's so many ways to do that. I mean, I'm grateful I came into a program with God, but it wasn't always easy. And I think a lot of times for me, when I came in when I was 23 that, you know, it was easy in the beginning and then it got hard. And then I grew up. So I kind of grew up in programs. So the work I did yesterday doesn't transfer into today. And when I do a thorough step seven throughout the day and I close my day, not the nightly review of the little app we got going on, a really true step seven will set me free for be more aware of what I need to do the next day. And with that, I'll pass. And thank you for your service, Larry.
Oh, thanks, Karen. Appreciate it. Okay, next up is Patty, and then we'll see if we can get to Maria. Hey, Patty, good morning. Oh, Patty, press star one.
Hi. I think you heard Patty, but it's Tammy K.
Oh, Tammy. Hi, Tammy.
Hi, I'm Tammy. I'm in Florida, grateful, recovering, compulsive overeater, sugar addict. And I absolutely love this very short paragraph, the sentence, choosing my own conception of God. I grew up in a religious home, in a very traditional Jewish home, and I always believed in God, but I kind of thought God was punishing, and I don't know if it's the way my parents brought me up, if it's the way my Hebrew school brought me up. But then, you know, in my 20s, I lost both my parents, and my faith just went downhill. And I've had this disease of compulsive eating all my life. And I've been in these rooms since I was 20 years old. I'm now 60. But when I was able to hear choose your own conception of God and worked, step two in that way, I came with this very parental, very loving God that, you know, is not perfect, and that's why things in this world happen that, you know, aren't kind, aren't just, but that really loves me and will take away the compulsion if I surrender my will. And that's really where it comes to. I need to have daily conscious contact with my higher power, and I need to let go of my will and what Tammy wants. Because what Tammy wants is not what's right, not what's good. But this ego, the self-centeredness that I have as an addict makes me want to be willful. And so the best part of my program and the biggest part of my program, my success, my recovery comes from letting go and just asking God to allow me to do God's will. So on that, I'll pass.
Thank you, Tammy. Okay, Maria, it's your turn. Good morning.
Good morning. I'm Maria G. from Louisiana, and I am beginning recovery again in OA. And what I wanted to share is that my perception of God was so faint and weak. By my upbringing that it wasn't until I was in my 70s that I got to OA and I really understood a living God and God who was with me 24/7. And I still didn't heed the instructions. I apologize for my voice. Instructions with the program. I had that self-will run riot. And it took many things to get me closer. I had cancer, and then just recently I had a stroke. And I also had this person who had touched me so deeply in her share. She was a guest speaker. And I just knew I had to make contact. We kept missing, you know, playing ping pong phone. So we finally connected just not long ago. And my goodness, God spoke to me through her. And I have been changed. I am having, I'm 24 hours abstinent. And God is so real and has been all my life. I just didn't have the eyes and the ears and I was in the food. And today, I just have to share that, you know, I never was shown that God and religion or whatever is action, you know. And someone else who I really admire and love said, it's not what you do, it's not what you think, it's not any of that, it's not how you feel, it's what you do. And by the grace of God, I think I understand now. And I have been given a God that has real arms and has a voice and has words of love and support and doesn't tell me what I want to hear. They tell me what I need to hear. And that's the gift of having the program and the fellowship. They live this program, and they surely give gifts of grace and love to my and the recipient. And I love this. I'm coming back to this program, this phone, you know what I mean. So I pass and thank all of you. I love all of you. I pass.
Great way to end, Maria. Thank you so much for your share. And thank you to everyone who's participated today. Please join us for a second unrecorded hour of study that will immediately follow our closing. Let me give you the share ID for today's meeting. That number is 21,282. That's 21282. We are now going to close with the reading from the Big Book on page 164. We'll follow that by the Serenity Prayer if you care to join us. So with that, we'll love Vanessa G. Please read A Vision for You. Our book is meant to be suggestive only.
Hi, everyone. This is Vanessa G., recovered, gratefully recovered in New Mexico. Page 164. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask Him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with Him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to Him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find. And join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit. And you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you.